Our summer season, our series, looking at the verse that comes after the well-known verse, I think is a brilliant way of scrutinizing a biblical text and expounding it together. As I've said on so many occasions, we need to be careful that we don't take one verse out of the context of the passage, but also of the chapter as well. And also to understand that why the Spirit of God inspired the writers to record Holy Scripture for us. And so we've done that as we've gone along. I think the idea of this series was fed to me about 4 or 5 years ago by you, Simon, if I remember rightly. And we've actually been doing it in the August ever since. But we have a problem with tonight's chosen passage. Do you know, there are some passages of Scripture that have become so familiar to us that they are all well known. I think the most famous series of words ever written in the Hebrew are these 57 words which are recorded by King David that we refer to as Psalm 23. It's one of those passages which is often read at funerals, often read beside hospital beds. It's read when people are grieving, when they're frightened, when they're facing uncertainty. Familiarity should never cause us to miss the depth of this message. Many of you have heard this passage preached on countless occasions. I'm sure some of you preachers have preached on it as well, and you could probably tell me afterwards the bits I've missed out. When I spoke to John again on Tuesday, I said I'm just going to be focusing on the bountiful provision of God, because that's the title. And since then, I've done an exposition on the whole psalm. So we're going to go through the whole passage together. So thank you again for reading it for us. One of the things I want to say at the outset of tonight's sermon is that Psalm 23 is not about the sheep. It's all about the shepherd. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice the personal that he brings out there. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is their shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. That one statement becomes the foundation for everything that follows, really. So if we're going to follow to the course of the well-known verse, that's the well-known verse, and everything else follows from that. David is, in one sense, essentially saying that because God is my shepherd, I can face whatever life brings. The New Testament makes this connection even clearer. Jesus Christ himself refers to himself as the good shepherd who would lay his life down for the sheep. The writer to Hebrews refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as being the great shepherd. And Peter, who knew the Lord Jesus Christ intimately as his pastor, said that he was the chief shepherd who is coming again. Hallelujah. As one modern commentator often made reference to, Jesus is his pastor. He's a shepherd, but within that context, a shepherd pastors and oversees his sheep. Jesus is our pastor. Those who have that title of pastor, if the truth be known, are actually just under pastors to him. He is our shepherd. He is the one that we follow. Psalm 23 points us towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The commentator and pastor and author, Robert Kirchham, said, "At one time, a little 4.5-year-old girl was asked to recite Psalm 23. And she began in the first verse, as we know, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.' Well, she misspoke. And she said the following, 'The Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want.' And in many ways, she was right. Because the essence of what the psalmist says is this, is that when God is shepherding our lives, when Jesus, when we know Jesus as our pastor, we do not have to live in fear because he provides, he leads, he restores, he protects, he comforts, and ultimately, he will bring us home. I think nearly all those points Chris covered earlier on in his prayer before the service. But that's who Jesus is, and that's what he does. As he loves us and he pastors us, he nurtures us, he feeds us and protects us, and he leads us to a place of rest and ultimately to home. Let's ask the Lord to help us to see these things tonight, shall we? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you that you are a good shepherd. You are a faithful shepherd and you are the chief shepherd. And as we focus on your love and your care for us this night, Lord, we pray that you would again help us to know more of Jesus, that we may make him known so that others may hear, that they may turn and that they may put their trust in the pastor Jesus. Help us now, Father. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd provides. You and I know that that word, one, sort of translated, carries the idea of not lacking, of being without something that is necessary for life. David is not claiming in any way that God's people will receive everything that they ever desire. You and I know that that's not the case. Some of us should never have everything that we desire. But he is declaring that the shepherd will not fail to provide for his sheep what his sheep truly need. You and I know that there is a difference between what I want and what I truly need. They're two very, very different things. And within that context, can I say this lovingly too, is because sometimes we can, if we run the risk of becoming covetous in our heart towards others of what they seem to have. I don't just mean financial things, but I maybe mean gifts and talents or whatever. But even within that context of financial provision, or even things that we desire to have spiritually, can I lovingly say this to each and every one of us? If you haven't got it, it's because you don't need it. If you haven't got it, it means your Father doesn't want you to have it. So rest. Rest in him being the shepherd who knows the things that you need best. We often think that peace will come when we finally get the thing that we want. But David says peace comes from knowing who has us, who keeps us, who watches over us, who shepherds us. That is the confidence of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus is the God who provides. But the shepherd also gives rest. He takes us to green pastures. As David continues, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep are easily, very, very easily frightened. They do not simply lie down anywhere. For a sheep to rest, they need to feel secure. They need to feel safe. The picture that David gives us is of a sheep who are safe enough to rest because the shepherd is watching over them. I think this is something that we desperately need today. We live in a world that is constantly tells us to hurry. You need to do more. You need to work more. You need to achieve more, possess more. You need more information. You need more activity. You just need more. And yet the shepherd says, lie down. Lie down. My provision for you is that you rest and lie down. Sometimes God provides what we need, not by giving us more to do, but by simply teaching us to stop and trust in Him. The green pastures is a picture of God's care. He knows when His sheep need nourishment, feeding spiritually. And He also knows when we need rest. The shepherd leads us beside the still waters as well. That's not just a picture of me standing still. Still waters. I remember on one occasion, there's two things that someone said to me recently. It was actually your dear dad, Simon. Not that long back, he actually said, Phil Waters runs deep. Someone also said to me, what's 2 plus 2? 4? What's 4 plus 4? 8? Why? So I'll just test in the waters. He leads us beside the still waters. Sheep need water. But sheep can become very frightened by running streams. They are very skittish animals, aren't they, sheep? One of the things I discovered in Israel, particularly concerning some of the Judean wadis, the rivers that flow, on occasions they can flow very, very fast, particularly in some of those areas that David was a shepherd in. They'd either run fast, so fast that the sheep actually couldn't get to the water to feed, otherwise they might be taken away by the current. Or alternatively, sometimes as well, the wadis would actually grow, would become so sort of drained during the drought, some of the hot summer months. The water would not only fall away, but actually it became poisonous. And so one of the things I discovered sometimes is that shepherds would actually do something themselves. They would actually go to some of those places like that sort of torrential water, and they would actually cut out a trench from the water, and they'd cut it out so far so that the water would actually, as it was going past as fast as it could, it would fill those gaps that were there, and it was those safe water places that the sheep could then come and rest at and be fed. A wise shepherd, therefore, would look for a safe, quiet place where his sheep can drink and be refreshed safely. What a beautiful picture of God's care for you and me. Life can be noisy. Life can be dangerous. There are noisy circumstances, noisy opinions, noisy fears, and sometimes even noisy thoughts within our minds that we just cannot escape from. Life is dangerous. We can be taken by the current of modern ideas or even poisoned by what appears to be good water. One of my dear friends, Justin Peters, would often use an illustration of a glass of water. A glass of water can be something that is really, really refreshing and actually safe to drink if it is just water. I use that just as an excuse to drink. But what if that was 99% water and 1% arsenic. Just 1%. 99% all good stuff, but just 1% arsenic. Would you drink it? Do you know, there are teachers out there who are 99% right. But that 1%, that 1% is so dangerous that the sheep are being slaughtered, poisoned. A shepherd cares for his sheep, and he only gives them what they need. The circumstances around us may be turbulent, but God can and does lead his people to places of inward peace. Notice that David does not say, there will never be rushing waters. Something that I don't do often. But what he does say is that the shepherd leads them. Our confidence is not that life will always be calm. Our confidence is in that God knows where to lead us to safe places. Fourthly, the shepherd restores his soul. He restores his sheep. This is one of the most tender statements in the psalm. Sheep wander, they're wayward things. A sheep can become lost, injured, or trapped. The shepherd goes after it and brings it back and restores it. Do you know that lovely picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, the 99? Remember it? Where he left the 9 safely in the pen and he went after the 1. That has been used on so many occasions as an evangelistic message. It is not an evangelistic message because that one that went astray was part of the sheepfold. He was in the pen and for some reason he got lost. He went off. And the shepherd went and he got that sheep and he brought it back. What a lovely, again, a lovely imagery of what Jesus does for us when we wander, and we do. When we get lost in things, just stuff of life, he comes to us and brings us back, draws us back to himself. I think that David experienced this reality himself on so many occasions. If you've ever read through the life of David, you've got to confess sometimes, how on earth did the Lord use him? Especially with his wandering eye. Especially with the amount of blood he shed. And yet there was something that they said of David that God said is that he was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? What was always true of David is this, is that whenever he made mistake, and he made so many mistakes, but whenever the word of the Lord came to him, whenever the Spirit of God challenged some area of in his life, what did he do? He ran back as quickly as he could and he fell upon his knees and he cried out to God for mercy. Aren't you grateful that God restores us? I'm just like David. Sometimes we wander through all our own foolishness. Sometimes we become discouraged. Sometimes we become spiritually tired. Sometimes we just find ourselves in places where we just never intended to be. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. But the shepherd does not simply stand at a distance shouting at us, saying, I told you so, you should have known better. What the shepherd does is he comes after his sheep. Can I just say within that context, beloved, it doesn't mean, and I don't want to in any way nullify the significance and the importance of sin in our life. It doesn't nullify the sin. It doesn't make it insignificant. But what it does is it magnifies His grace. The shepherd restores. And the shepherd guides. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In some ways, to a sheep, one path can look as much as another. In many ways, a sheep is only ever interested in the food that's ahead of him. But the shepherd knows that not every path is safe or right. And so the shepherd guides the sheep because he sees that the sheep, what the sheep cannot see. I don't know. I've heard it said. I preached on Psalm 23 about 15, 16 years ago. I've never preached on it since. And then I was reading up on it, and I heard a story, and I've used this quote ever since. So you shepherds, you can tell me whether I'm right or not. But this particular reference, I think it might have even been by Philip Keller, who wrote many books on the shepherd. And he said, you know, the difference between Eastern shepherd and Western shepherds is that Western shepherds, they drive their sheep. You know, they'll have their dogs or they'll you see them on the four-wheel drive little motor things, and they'll drive the sheep to where they want them to go. But this illustration said that Eastern shepherds would actually go ahead of the sheep, and the sheep would follow them. They would know, which is a brilliant imagery again, they would know their shepherd's voice. And they know that the shepherd would only take them to the places of safety. And so the shepherd would go before them. And the sheep would follow. Beloved, it's an important truth for us. We often want God to show us the entire road before we take the next step. Or the first step. But God, as we said last Sunday evening as well, usually only gives us enough light for the next step ahead. The shepherd sees what is around the bend. We don't. The shepherd knows where the path will lead. We don't. The shepherd knows what is dangerous. We may not. So faith is learning to say, Lord, I may not understand the path, but I'm going to trust the shepherd. I'm going to trust that the shepherd has gone before me and he's made the path straight for me. David adds an important phrase there at the end of that statement. He says, for his name's sake. Did you know that God's reputation, God's name, is bound to his care of you? Because you're his sheep. He is our shepherd. And if you knew of a shepherd, a farmer, who was treating his animals badly, oh, he'd have a bad reputation, wouldn't he? He couldn't show his face at the Ashover show. Because all the other farmers would know, that's a farmer that you can't trust, because if he treats his sheep as bad as he does, he treats people like that as well. Even for your name's sake, his care for his people, he is faithful to his character. Beloved, never, ever, ever, ever doubt God's love and care for you. The shepherd is also present with his sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Notice the change. Earlier David says, he leads me, he makes me, he restores me, and now he says, thou art with me. The valley makes the shepherd's presence personal. David does not say there will not be a valley, beloved. Some of you, I know, are going through valley wilderness experiences now. The shepherd never ever said that we will not have valleys. He says, though I walk through it, the valley is not the destination you're going to meet. You're going to come to the end of it. You're going to get through. The darkest valley imaginable is the valley of the shadow of death. And yet David says, even there, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know I shouldn't dwell on it in any way, but I will just for a moment or two. I haven't been with as many as Joe has been with, but I've been with many people as they've passed from this life into the next. And there is no more glorious thing than seeing a believer go into glory. It is amazing. It really, really is. Knowing that they are dying with such confidence that even through the valley of the shadow of death, God's presence is with them. Even when no other person is with them. Even when sometimes we regret because we weren't there when our loved one passed away. But we can know that Jesus was with them because he promises that he will. That is the confidence that we have as believers. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds us. The shepherd protects and he comforts as well. I couldn't quite fit it on there. But he protects. The shepherd carries tools for both protection and guidance. The rod may be used against enemies that would seek to come and attack the sheep. The rod would sometimes be used to support or even to assist the sheep in the leading. I've got one of those I should have brought with me, one of those shepherd staffs with a crook on it, and sometimes I could use it on the children, and sometimes I've used it on wayward sheep. Honestly, some of them need it, really bring them back in, they do. But the point is simple. The shepherd is equipped for whatever he needs, for anything that comes and threatens his sheep. David had experienced God's protection repeatedly. He knew what it meant to be surrounded by enemies. He knew what it meant to be to have them watching his every need, criticize him and judging him. Some of the enemies as well, he goes on to say that they were so close to him that they were his own family. Sometimes we ask, Lord, why don't you remove the danger from me? But sometimes God's answer is not to remove the danger immediately, but to remind us, I am with you in it. I can defend you. I can sustain you because you are not alone. David changes the picture, interestingly enough, from the shepherd to a host. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Do you know the remarkable thing is that God does not have to eliminate every enemy before he can bless his people. He makes provision for them even in the midst and surrounded by enemies. The shepherd would appear or prepare a safe grazing area, inspect the dangers before allowing the sheep to feed. And so David is portraying God as the one who prepares a place of provision even when danger is nearby. Again, something the shepherds would also do is that they would actually become the doorway of the pen, so that they would stand between the pending danger and the sheep. What a powerful encouragement it is. You know, we sometimes think, you know, I will have peace when the problem goes away, but that's not what God says. He says, I can give you peace while the problem is still there. While the enemy appears to be surrounded, I can provide peace for you in the midst. What a comfort. What a joy. Beloved, God's provision is not dependent upon a perfect circumstances. God's provision is for us in every circumstance. The shepherd also provides healing. Thou dost anoint my head with oil. The imagery there conveys a personal care. Oil could be used for wounds or for protection. It could be used also to protect them from various parasites or any irritation on their skin. The shepherd does not merely care for the flock as a whole, but he cares for them individually. The shepherd knows his sheep. He knows when one of them is actually faltering, when there's something wrong with it. He doesn't just say, do you know what, I've got a massive herd here and the majority are okay, so I'm fine, so I'll rest. No, the shepherd knows the individual needs and he meets those needs. Beloved, that means that God knows your wound. He knows your hurt. He knows your disappointment. He knows your weariness. He's not indifferent to your situation. You know, there's something wonderful about knowing that God, the God of the universe, is not merely powerful enough to help us, but he's personal enough to care for us as well. That should bring delight to our hearts, does it? Does it? That's five of you. And finally, the shepherd blesses. Actually, penultimately. My cup just runs over. We are not copers in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Why? Because of the blessings that are ours, the benefits that are ours in Christ Jesus. Our cup is full and running over. God does not merely provide the bare minimum. The picture is one of abundance. It doesn't mean that every believer will have ease or prosperity. It doesn't mean that we're going to have untold wealth. Psalm 23 itself includes valleys, enemies, dangers, and even death. The abundance that David describes is a deeper than possessions. It's an abundance of God's presence with us. Peace that circumstances cannot manufacture. Grace that our failures cannot exhaust. Mercy that our sin cannot outrun. Love that suffering cannot destroy. Do you know there's a phrase there which actually it is not translated very well. In verse 6 it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It doesn't say that in the original. Sorry, some of you are disappointed now because you've always quoted that. Do you know what it says? It says this, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue after me, shall chase after me, shall go for me. It's not just it's a follow. Oh, it's coming along. No. God's goodness and God's mercy will pursue us in order to bless us, in order to provide for us, in order to be there with us. The shepherd's goodness is not measured by how comfortable our circumstances are. It is measured by how faithful he remains with his sheep. Think about that. We often imagine that our mistakes are chasing us. Maybe our past is catching up with us. our failures are on our shoulder. Our fears are surrounding us. But David says that God's people, goodness and mercy is pursuing them, chasing after them. Not because we deserve him, that is why we need mercy. Not because we've earned them, that is why we need grace. But because the shepherd is good and he is faithful. And finally, this is a promise, is the final. He brings us home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David does not say, I hope I get there. He has confidence. I will dwell. Such was his assurance. You know, if there's one thing that I've discovered in the counseling room, in the pastor's counseling room over many, many years, is this, that one of the biggest problems that people have is a lack of assurance. And that lack of assurance always, always goes back to their conversion experience, how they were birthed, whether they were born again, whether it's been a breech birth, whether it's been a difficult birth, or whether it's been an abnormal birth, or even a premature birth. David has an assurance. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It doesn't end with tomorrow's valley. It doesn't end with the grave. The shepherd brings the sheep safe home. That is where the gospel, that is where the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ takes us. Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. The one who died is the one who rose again. The shepherd who has brought us thus far, beloved, will ultimately bring us into his presence forever. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. What a day that will be. Between those two statements of the Lord is my shepherd and I will dwell in his house forever are statements that affect the whole journey of the Christian life. Green pastures, quiet waters, times when our soul just needs refreshing and being restored. There will be paths that we do not understand. There will be dark valleys. There will be enemies. There will be wounds that need to be healed. But through it all, there is a shepherd who is faithful. Perhaps that is the greatest lesson of Psalm 23. The promise is not, I will never walk through the valley. The promise is that when you walk, you are not alone. The promise is not, you will never face an enemy. The promise is the shepherd will be with you. The promise is not, you will always understand the path. No, the promise is that I can trust the one who leads me. So the question is not simply, do you know Psalm 23? We all know it. We're all familiar with it. But the deeper question is, can you say that the Lord is my shepherd? Praise God if you can. Because when he is your shepherd, you can trust his provision, trust his care, trust his guidance, trust that he will restore you. The greatest reality in one person's life is to be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. That's enough. Praise his holy name.